The reading is from Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 27. Love for enemies. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. Let's open in prayer. Dear Lord God, I just pray that this time with your word is your words and it falls on our hearts and minds. In your name, amen. Okay, this was going to be a challenging passage. Loving your enemies in a backdrop of a war in Europe, and also on Mother's Day. So I've been kind of praying and reflecting the last week or so on this piece of scripture. At times it's feeling quite incongruent, can't quite square it off. Although this morning I kind of want to unpack it and just think about how it's a call of living to be a disciple of Jesus. But the news is real at the moment. Turn on the TV every day, the war in Ukraine is quite terrifying. I saw a reporter talk to a man in his 60s who'd lost his family. He was on the side of the road and they were standing next to the bodies of Russian soldiers. He wasn't feeling love for those enemies at that time. He was angry. He was upset. It was raw. And that's understandable. He'd lost family. And I think, if I'm really honest, it's our natural instincts, and I'd be sure most of us too, that when people harm us or hurt us, our first initial reaction isn't love. I don't think we're wired to have that initial reaction in us. We want to identify the enemy and then fight for justice. And it doesn't fit in our society today. I don't think it'd be a very good Hollywood script, this one. I don't think it would land very well. I don't think it would be a Hollywood bestseller with Arnold Schwarzenegger. We're wired to see revenge, we're wired to see justice, and we like it. And that's what sells as well. So, as humans, we don't naturally love our enemies. So this what Jesus is teaching, it's not just countercultural, it's completely counterintuitive. So, onto the Sermon on the Plain, and I learned this week that Sermon on the Plain, different from Sermon on the Mount, every day's a school day, because it was done on the flat instead of on the mountain, where they're the same or not, it's been disagreed. But this was the Sermon on the Plain, and Jesus presented the important basics of a spiritual life of being a Christian. You can kind of set the scene. Great crowds from Judea, Jerusalem, and the surrounding coastal areas. He was popular at this point, Jesus. They didn't just want to hear him, they wanted to touch him. The crowd were hanging off every single word he had. So last week we heard him speaking, we read out about, and he said, blessed if you are poor, blessed you who are hungry, blessed you who weep. Blessed when people hate you, and woe to those who fed now and laugh now. I can just imagine how that landed. They must have been absolutely bamboozled. What's he talking about? They must have already been confused by the message that they've been heard from him. And then Jesus takes it to another level. And he prepares them for it. In verse 27, he says, but to those who are listening, I say. Jesus is asking them to listen. Not just hear, but really listen. Probably knowing that some of the words he's about to speak will lead to some people walking away. He's going, what I'm saying is challenging. What I'm saying now is going to challenge you even further. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for them. What? Love your enemies? Their faces must have dropped. What, you mean the Romans who are occupying us? Taking taxes from us? Ruling us when we don't want them? What, them? Love them. If someone slaps you on the cheek, turn to the other. Jesus saying, yes, that's how I want you to respond to violence. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Yeah, responding to when something's taken off you. Allow them to take more from you. Give to everyone who asks and do not demand it back. What, giving and associate expectation of not getting it back? This wasn't an abstract sermon. This was here and then for the Gentiles listening to this. It was challenging their living under the rule of the enemy. This would have been very hard-hitting. It would have been like a country invading the UK, occupying us, and the government asking the UK population just to love them. And then Jesus goes further. When he challenges not just about love, but who to love and act towards, the bar gets even higher. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Jesus is saying, to be my disciple, don't take the easy path of loving others. Take the tough path, the extremely difficult path. Love those who do not love you, and then you will be my disciple. Jesus is saying, don't avoid those who do not get on with or don't naturally want to spend time with. With those you love, go into the world, be faced with those who are not easy to love, and love them. He's challenging us. Get out of our cozy relationships, get gritty, get yourself in situations that require you feeling slightly uncomfortable with others. Be faced with people who are challenging, show them God's love. And then he moves to money. If you lend to those who know you are going to get money back, what credit is that to you? Love your enemies is about your heart. Do good to them is about how we act and behave. Lend to them without expecting back is a mind cognitive process. Show love, not the easy reciprocal love. Love others who do not necessarily love us. Just imagine how that would have landed. So this is big. This is completely upside down to our society and our world works. And I mean completely upside down. Our world does not work like this. Our justice system, our financial system, and ultimately our international relationships that we are seeing live today on our TV screens. It doesn't work like this. But before we reject the thinking that the world cannot live by this teaching, I would challenge back. We cannot afford not to take them seriously. Since humans have walked the earth, we have wrestled with each other, war, theft. We've tried to get our systems of justice. It's pervasive and it's chronic all through history. And sometimes we think that our modern Western society is robust, has robust morality. International trade, democratic systems, violence has been eradicated, enemies as such have been eradicated. We just trade. Traders reduce violence. We use tough love in our international relationships to regimes who don't comply. And the thought is the more we build these systems into our international community, the further we will see reduction in violence. Then I'll give you the situation in Ukraine. Jesus told us the way centuries ago. There is a power in the love that our world has not yet discovered. Jesus looks at the world and say, this is not the way, I have a better way. So how far do we take these teachings of Jesus? So I've been praying and reflecting on this, and to be honest, I can't quite square off the theology or confess to know I got it all right, let alone the Christian ethics of a just war. It has made me think about the need for showing love to others within boundaries. Do we become pacifists? Just do harm to me. Do we have no boundaries? Whatever you want to do to me, I will accept. Do we allow people just to take from us? Open our front door and allow people to take what they want and not report it to police. Just let it happen. Do we even allow abuse to happen? I certainly don't believe this. I believe God wants us to live in unity and harmony, and that comes through boundaries and justice on earth. Although these teachings are about bringing God's kingdom alive on earth now, through as us Jesus' disciples changing the way the world works, and that is through love. Paul's letter to the Romans 12:17. He kind of expresses how this love should be in action in the early church. He says, do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. It is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, said the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Showing love to our enemies is a powerful sword against our, is a powerful sword. As Paul writes, in doing this, you will heap burning coals on their head. Ultimately, love is more powerful than hate. Paul was guiding the early church to live in the world, being disciples of Jesus through practical ways of giving to the enemy when they were hungry and thirsty. This would show that they were disciples of Jesus. The 20th century's got some... there's been a lot of violence, but what's really interesting sometimes in the 20th century, we missed the non-violent resistance that went on that led to great change. Martin Luther King, in the 1950s, started the change, and then more needs to be done into the rights for black people. Gandhi, through non-violent resistance, not using violence, ultimately pushed the British Empire out of India. Napoleon Bonaparte, end of his life, said the following about Jesus. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne and myself founded empires, but on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon sheer force. Jesus Christ alone founded his empire upon love, and at this hour millions of men will die for him. So, for me there's some good news and some bad news. I'll start with the bad. I think these teachings are extremely difficult to follow in our thought, feelings, and behaviour. I would actually even go as far to say that they are impossible on our own to live by, these teachings of Jesus. Now the good news. We can become more like Jesus, being disciples for him, through the freely given grace of God. Allow God's free gift of grace, the Holy Spirit, to live within us. It is only by God's grace that we can do this. We cannot do this on our own. Back to Gandhi, who said, "I know to banish anger altogether from one's breast is a difficult task. It cannot be achieved through personal effort. It can only be done by God's grace." This is what it is to be a disciple of Jesus, to behave, to think, to feel like him. It cannot be done through our own effort. It can only be done, and I mean only be done, through accepting that we can't do it on our own, and we need God's gift of grace of the Holy Spirit within us. I had the opportunity to see a colleague who was leaving work, and I went out last weekend to say farewell. And I met another colleague, and he'd been in the armed forces for about 10 years, and we were just chatting at the bar, and he'd recently got into care work. He'd done about 10 tours. He'd seen the world. He'd seen many enemies. He'd seen war and conflict. He had seen violence. He was very forthcoming, and he said, "I hate religion." It was palpable, and I could see the hurt in when he said it. He didn't expand further. It wasn't my place. I said a prayer for him. But what I can absolutely convinced that person had not encountered God's act, grace through the acts of love by any individual, church, nation, or the international community. And how would he be if he faced people who would love their enemies through acts of grace? Through accepting God's grace, realizing that we cannot do this on our own, we can start to show how we love our enemies. The impact, completely countercultural, can be potentially life-changing. So how do we take this forward? I think these teachings of Jesus are fundamental foundations of being a Christian in the world. It makes what being a Christian, a disciple of Jesus, which needs to be radical in the world. It lays the groundwork for the church. The message is timeless, for it speaks to Christians today as much as when Jesus spoke the words to that Gentile crowd on the Sermon on the Plain. These are radical words, even probably more radical in our world today. It is the spiritual and practical code of practice to live by, to be held account to guide us in our discipleship. Ultimately, it is about coming more like Jesus. So at first, accept that we need God's grace to become a disciple of him. The good news is, we can't do it on our own, but God's grace we can. Jesus gives two practical hints within one in the Sermon on the Plain. Do to others as you would have them do to you. How would you want to be treated? Stand in the other person's shoes. Walk a mile in their moccasins. Just think, as we think about this war in Ukraine, not just thinking about Ukraine people, but actually the Russian soldiers, the Russian people who are losing their loved ones. How would they want to be treated by someone? Hate breeds hate, acts of love breed love, and ultimately God's kingdom. Finally, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Mercy is the kind and forgiving treatment of someone when someone has done something wrong to you. It's in our power to show mercy. Sometimes that can be not be gloating. That slight bit of gloating when one of our enemies or someone's unharmed and something back happens to them. Catch it. Show mercy. For me, showing mercy is about showing love first. As Christians, be the first to show love. But that enables us that we've got to prepare to be a bit vulnerable, everyone. Breaking down pride and stepping forward in God's grace. Love has the redemptive power to change individuals. I'd be bold to say it goes and it can change nations. The very act of loving your enemies has the power of redemption. So I'm just not going to close in prayer, but I've got a song which was written in the 1960s by a Catholic priest, and myself and Claire were talking about it. We sung at assemblies. And it's, "They'll know we are Christians by our love. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that our unity will one day be restored. And they'll know that we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. We will work with each other. We will work side by side. And we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love. By our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love." Amen.